This is a person that definitely needs to be held accountable for war crimes. People need to understand, I'm not asking you to stand against, the various people there, but the leader there that is promoting this kind of violence that is leading to the continuation of killing of, children and just the continuation of just the pain and the harm and the oppression and the violence towards Palestinians. That is something that has continued to be enabled and supported by this prime minister.
So that's the soundbite, and I could start off with that. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. I'm Dana Lash. We made it. Y'all are going to have to drag me the rest of the way over the finish line because I fell 300 yards back. Oh, my gosh. We made it. It's so good to be with you guys today, though. It's good to sit around and shoot the breeze and all that. I was all prepared to just, like, hit the ground running, and then I caught view of myself in the monitor, and I was like, I accidentally dressed like Skrillex today. So, that was...
Actually, I love those frames.
Well, yeah, but then my extreme side part, I'm just going to go with it. We're rolling with it today. We're rolling. If you hear me sneeze or try to rush to grab my mute button, I have new allergy drops. I got it's a higher strength allergy drop. And so for a few days, I'm always on the struggle bus. So if I look like I'm like a crying little kitten, it's just because my eyes are watery and I'm reacting to that. So it's not coronavirus and I'm not depressed. So just FYI. That's why I have the big glasses today, because we're having a little bit of the allergy struggle. We got the puffy eye stuff and the new drops and all that. All right. So I had to explain all of that before I could actually talk about anything else. Where to begin? I almost sent like two newsletters out to you this morning, and then I thought, let's wait, because I want to make sure that I feel everything out, especially as it relates to some of the stuff going on with the GOP, which we're going to get to. But did you all happen to see some of the video and the photos of everything that was happening with regards to the escalation between Israel and Hamas yesterday? So Israel, the way that the headlines came out, and I was watching this, I said, oh, well, Israel's getting ready to go in with ground forces. And that's when I think everyone just went, oh, because that's some serious business. That's the point when the car pulls over on the side of the road and the seatbelt comes off the parent in the front seat and you know you're about to get it. So what really ultimately ended up happening, because everyone was speculating, oh my gosh, it's a prelude to a ground invasion. It's a prelude to ground invasion. Oh my goodness, here we go. Well, it was some brilliant misdirection. So they told everybody that, yeah, we got our ground forces coming out and all this stuff is happening and we got some aircraft waiting. We're ready to rock. Well, you know what ended up happening is that Hamas heard all of this and they immediately retreated to their underground tunnel system that's referred to as the Metro. And that's where they went to when they took their rockets and their weaponry and some of their other terrorists. They all went to that and previously in order to escape like confiscation, arrest, and of course being retaliated against. So as they all went underground to the Metro, well, that's when Israel struck the Metro and they bombed all the underground targets. So they baited them to take everything down to the Metro, and then they took on their offensive and went after those tunnels. I was listening to some of the technology that has to do with the artillery that Israel uses to strike back, and somehow they're equipped with like these sensors. So if, when the Iron Dome takes out a missile, or if they're, and particularly if any of the undetonated aspect of that artillery lands anywhere in a civilian area, I don't know the technical term for it. It makes it to where it can't explode. How about that? And it protects the citizenry in the area. I mean, no matter where, it's pretty amazing to see the tech that is involved in some of this. This is like when we were hearing about some of the tech that was involved in Afghanistan when we recommitted in there. There was some of the missile technology could zero in on certain floors of certain buildings and like register, like infrared and detect heat. And I mean, this is unbelievable. So that was a pretty big clap back for Israel, and we're going to continue following all of this stuff because, you know, how is, you know, I'm not quite sure how Hamas at this point, I'm not quite sure at this point how they're able to retaliate. I mean, if they wanted peace, they would just not bomb people. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. But that deception, it led Hamas to enter that tunnel system, and then they had 160 Israeli aircraft just waiting. And it's been called one of the most aggressive aerial assaults against Hamas in that tunnel system in Gaza. And then I was also looking at some of the body count. I didn't realize how many people Hamas was killing of its own people because of how many rockets they were firing. The whole point of, and we talked about this yesterday, I don't know if you saw some of the amazing photos that have been coming out from this of when the rockets are going towards Israel and the Iron Dome is reacting to it. It's something to behold. I feel like I'm watching like the Avengers or something. It's just to see it in the sky like that, it almost doesn't even look real. There was a really great photo that I think someone at Getty took, and it was at night, and the rockets and then the response from the Iron Dome lit up the night sky, and it looked fake. It looked like a fake photo. It was pretty unbelievable. And so just so you understand too, and you're wondering why it is that there's this response from Israel, there have been over 1,400 rockets fired at Israel, and that's just since Monday. If you were including from the previous Friday, it would be over 1,600. That's how many rockets have been fired at Israel. And the whole purpose is to they want to overwhelm the Iron Dome system so that it can't catch everything that's coming. So we're going to talk a little bit more about this, and also some of the ridiculous false narratives that are out there. And I've seen it. Everybody was going at Barry Weiss yesterday. So we're going to talk about the history of quote unquote Palestine. So we're going to do a quick little splainer on that. And I'm going to tell you exactly how it is not historically accurate to say that that is the homeland. And for the Palestinian nation, or it's that, however you want to put it, we're going to delve into the history of it. And I'll give you a quick explainer on that. Also, today, Elise Stefanik is officially the GOP conference chair. Now, I got to tell y'all something. I was a little bit displeased at how this all fell out. I honestly, this is the thing. I don't care who the conference chair is, but if this person's going to be in charge of messaging, I do think that the Republican Party is required at this point to explain to voters if they're changing, whether or not they're changing their messaging on taxes or the border wall or amnesty or anything like that, because this conference chair voted for amnesty and against the border wall and for higher taxes. I've got the receipts. I got the roll count that came from the congressional. It's from Congress. It's their website. So I'm really curious about that. Now, Chip Roy was nominated to go up against Stefanik, and he's a conservative we've had him on the show before here from our Republic of Texas. Good guy, staunch conservative. He's voted for funding for border wall. He's voted for tax cuts, etc. And this is something that I'm just really confused about. So I really think the Republican Party, I think all you conservatives out there need to be asking your GOP officials, Is there a new position from the Republican Party? And I think it's worth asking. I've written extensively about, and this isn't, I'm not throwing any shade on Stefanik, but I need everybody to remember, I ain't in this to be nobody's friend. I mean, this is business. This ain't show friends, it's show business, okay? So this is the business of the country. And as a capitalist and a taxpayer, I want to know what all these people are going to be doing with my money and your money, don't you? And I think that we are owed an answer from the Republican Party as to whether or not their selection of conference chair and her voting record means that these are new positions that the GOP is going to be adopting. Now, you all know how I feel about politicians and optics and strategy and all this stuff. I have to say I'm disappointed right now. I'm a little disappointed. And I don't agree with one politician on everything. I don't even agree with my husband on everything. I don't agree with my mother on everything. I mean, these are things that we are just, and if everyone did agree 100% on everything, then we'd be robots. So let's keep this in mind. Now, with this, I have to point out Trump's statement yesterday. He came out with a statement and this was just yesterday, about the, this is ahead of the conference chair election. He wrote, quote, "Can't imagine Republican House members would go with Chip Roy. He has not done a great job and will probably be successfully primaried in his own district. I support Elise by far over Chip," end quote. So y'all are going to have to bear with me. Y'all know that I love the tax cut plan. Y'all know that I loved the relocation of the embassy to Jerusalem. Y'all know that I love nice, easy, lawful immigration. I like cutting bureaucracy. I don't get this. And I'm kind of disappointed to see this from POTUS. And not only is, you know, is it Trump, but keep in mind that I've known the guy for almost a decade. So this confuses me. And I'm a little disappointed with this, because do we value rhetoric or do we value the votes? Because does Trump know that she voted against like everything that he had, and she also voted for measures to criticize him over whenever House Democrats were pushing measures? So every time he'd do something, they wanted to censure him for something, and she was voting for those. Has he been misled?
Apparently fundraising is more important than voting record at this stage of the game. That's what I'm getting from it.
Because Chip Roy is a solid conservative, and I'll put on brass knuckles and fist to fist with anybody over that. No doubt. I mean, I don't know where she even stands on Second Amendment. I know where he does. I know she was against his entire tax cut plan that we all benefited from. I know that she was against the border wall. I know that she was against, she was voting in favor of amnesty. And I'm not just talking about people who were for people who were brought here as children either and had no say in the matter. I'm talking about like adults that just woefully chose to break a law and enter illegally and then want amnesty and want to skip ahead in the line in front of everybody else. I mean, I've got her voting record. I can spend the next 3 hours going over it piecemeal if you'd like. I mean, she actually voted with Democrats to attack him for his lawsuit against Obamacare. That's the current GOP conference chair. She voted for that. I wrote a post on it where I linked to all of this. She voted for climate change, H.R. 9, which was Climate Action Now, and it was about following and going by the Paris Climate Accords. I'm really concerned about this. She is a huge proponent of earmarks. And I have, by the way, all those earmarks that she was voting for. This is a waste of our tax dollars. So what gives? That's my question. We have a lot to get into, folks. So we're also going to get into the latest with the economy. Do you know that we are closed trended on Twitter last night because businesses were saying that they were closed because they couldn't hire enough people? The government also says that you can live again. And the most disturbing remark from yesterday with the whole coronavirus stuff and the masks and all of that. You don't want to miss a single second of today's show. And we got Mailbag of Hate later on as well. It's a packed program. All right, folks, it's time for some spring cleaning. Toss out your old flannel, your winter doldrums, and that ratty 2020 sleepwear. It's time to put on clothes, folks. Step into comfort and a fresh new you in new Tommy John loungewear and pajamas. Loungewear is like fancy pajamas. I love my Tommy John's loungewear. It's quality comfort. And when you start every morning in Tommy John loungewear, you're just that much more comfortable. So you can do everything better. See, this is why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Tommy John loungewear and pajamas are guaranteed to fit perfectly with comfy, non-pilling micro-modal fabric, which means no lint balls or fuzz, and luxuriously soft tri-blend fabric with a four-way stretch. It's the same level of comfort and innovation that goes into everything Tommy John makes, including, ladies, their brassieres with non-slip straps, twice the adjustability of competing brands, and the softest second skin fabric for the perfect fit. Returns and exchanges are free, and right now you'll get 20% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Dana. Get 20% off at TommyJohn.com/Dana. TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Mm-hmm. All right. So where to even start today? First up, the president is going to welcome six recipients of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. It's a DACA program to the Oval Office today as the immigration reform plan that he campaigned on. It signals, I guess, that it's still a priority, although they haven't moved anything on it. It's just he's just going to do some photos and there you have it. So that's to tide over the base. A farmer's family got death threats after he asked a vegan cafe to serve real milk. I will tell you that the people who are like, who are hardcore vegans, hate the other things that are made of meat, like people, right? They don't like it. If you're made of people meat, they hate you. It's true. They called the family killer, animal killing scumbags. Do you know how to get milk? Because that's not how milk is gotten. Just saying it. It was a celebrity farmer and a vegan cafe. They both got death threats because people, they were being pressured about plant-based milk. And this is in Britain. I'm just fascinated by this story. I mean, the messages that they got, it's kind of crazy. It's called Caffi, C-A-F-F-I, and it's in North Wales. And it's his little cafe at the family farm. It's literally called, they're on the BBC as the family farm. And he says, you know, it's fine having a free country and free speech, but you know, when you're getting death threats, you're kind of crossing a line. I agree. That should be obvious, but apparently it's not to people. So I don't know why Ohio's idiotic government is auctioning off tax dollars. Did you hear what they're doing? They said that Ohio adults who get their first coronavirus shot can get a chance to win $1 million. We're going to make fun of this later. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Superbeats Heart Chews to create their new Superbeats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Superbeats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Superbeats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Superbeats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Superbeats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Want a deeper dive into the Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask. But if you've not been vaccinated, or if you're getting a two-shot vaccine, and you've not gotten you only had your first shot, but not your second, or you haven't waited a full 2 weeks after your second shot, you still need to wear a mask.
Oh my gosh. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash.
Friday.
You know, tell you, this is the stuff that I get really aggravated about this. The way that any kind of questions or discussion about the vaccines and which one is better for whatever demo or whatever, you know, somebody's dealing with, if you ask any kind of questions, if you express any kind of concern, people immediately label you as being anti-vaccine, even if you're completely totally not, and they accuse you of spreading misinformation because you ask a question, which is like literally the opposite of spreading misinformation. If you want to have a discussion about spreading misinformation, I would think that maybe saying that people who are asking questions because they're concerned about their health or, you know, other things of that nature, then that to me kind of seems like you would, you know, that you're spreading misinformation. I saw this tweet from Joe Biden last night. He put this out. I had retweeted it. This was yesterday, a little bit after radio. He said, quote, "The rule is now simple. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do. The choice is yours." Now, this is after the CDC came out. They even made a graph. And they said, oh, hey, if you're vaccinated, you can go without your mask, except in kind of some areas, but you can kind of go without your mask. And it still is kind of shocking to me, the bad messaging on this. Because it feels like that's not a choice, by the way. That's kind of that's coercion. That's not a choice. That's coercion. And then I was looking for a link on this because they were saying that, well, you know, you might, if you, because some people at the CDC were saying, well, if you want to be safe, then, you know, maybe still continue to wear your mask or something like that. That doesn't make any sense either. And there were people, because I retweeted what Biden had said, and I go, but my body, my choice, though. And oh my gosh, all kinds of people were all up in arms over that. But that's a legitimate question. It's a legitimate observation. The argument somehow is that vaccinated people hanging around unvaccinated people are safe unless the unvaccinated people aren't wearing masks, which then makes it not safe. Yes, that's I think how it works. That's kind of the argument that everybody's going with. As I've said, and as I've written about this so many times, because the messaging is that they're lifting the mask wearing for the vaccinated, and it almost seems like it's like they're creating another a second class of citizen. Delta said that they're requiring all vaccinations for any new employees. And there have been some workplaces more and more. There's a friend of mine who was trying to get hired on somewhere, and she was like the number one candidate by far for it. And she had to turn the job down because she actually, and I talked about this before, she has an actual health issue where she cannot, her medication is not going to, it's actually listed on the CDC website. She's one of those people, and that is irrelevant. That's not the rule. It's an exception. But still, I don't like the coercion, and I don't like people being rushed into something before they've had enough time to fully evaluate things. We've talked about this issue a little bit before, particularly as it affects women. And I don't mean to be all TMI for dudes out there, but ladies, I mean, I know a lot of women have some questions about this. The thing is that whenever I haven't heard a lot of discussions about this with any kind of press conferences from the administration. I haven't heard anyone really discuss some of these concerns for some of what the side effects are for certain people at any length. And that's the opposite of transparency. And this is all people are saying, you know, and from the very beginning, we were misled by NIH and CDC because they came out and said, don't wear masks at all. It's stupid to wear a mask. I remember in 2020, because when my book came out, I was in New York, and then I was in New York for a week, and then I was in DC. And this was right when everything was kind of already starting. And because it was still technically flu season, I always have been a germaphobe. So I was always, you know, not, I always would, if it was a crowded plane, I would take, now that they tell you to wear masks, I don't want to wear it. But when they didn't tell me to wear it, I just like the choice. I'm not anti-mask. I just like, I'm not anti-vaccine. I am pro making my own damn choices. There's a difference there. And people are trying to shame individuals into thinking that there isn't. And when we were in New York and then DC, and then I think right after, a few days after we got back to Texas, that's when everything started shutting down. And I distinctly remember Fauci over and over again, you don't have to wear a mask. Articles, interviews, they were saying you don't, when they first assembled the press conference and they had Pence there, and he was announced as he was going to be heading up the Operation Warp Speed, and he was working with the coronavirus task force and all of this stuff. They were talking about, well, you don't really need to wear a mask right now. I remember distinctly, we've played the video or the audio on the show. I mean, for example, let's go back to it. Roll the tape.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
Now, I'm of two minds of this. I could say that, you know what? Granted, we didn't know a lot about this virus, so it's really easy to say that, right? In hindsight, it's really easy to judge and be super critical in hindsight. We didn't know everything with this virus, right? Except then Fauci and everyone else came out later and they said, well, yeah, we actually knew that you needed to wear a mask. And we were telling people that so that there wouldn't be a rush on the N95s. Okay, well, you misrepresented yourself. Now, keep in mind, this was after almost, 4 years of propaganda and lies and all kinds of stuff that we saw from the press and from other sectors of the government. This is after we saw a political party abuse the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, the FISA court, and bypass the protocol so that they could spy domestically on political dissidents. There's a paper trail. One of the judges on the FISA court blew up and blasted the people who misrepresented the information in their warrant application to the court. And that was the DNC. This was after it came out that the DNC had been working directly with the Kremlin, and Fusion GPS, which is a lobbying firm, and the Fusion GPS lobbying firm was working on behalf of Russian oligarchs here in the United States to try and have what is known as the Magnitsky Act repealed. They didn't like the fact that some of their oligarch friends were penalized because Magnitsky, the guy who after whom the act is named, blew the whistle on the embezzling and extortion and a bunch of criminal stuff that these Russian oligarchs were doing, and they killed him. And it was actually John McCain that got the Magnitsky Act passed. And these Russian oligarchs were trying to get it repealed, and they hired Fusion GPS. And while Fusion GPS was working with the Kremlin, these oligarchs on it, then they said, well, here's a bunch of oppo we can give you. Here's some gossip about Trump. So they leaked that gossip to these reporters who wrote stories about it without telling anyone where their sources were from or how valid their sources were. And then Fusion GPS took those stories and handed them, because remember, one of the guys in DOJ, Bruce Orr, is married to Nellie Orr, who works at where? Fusion GPS. And that's the connection they had. The DOJ got that information. They took it to FISA and said, look at all this stuff that's being reported, without telling the FISA court that they were the ones who leaked it. And that it was debunked and unverified information. There's not a single thing. The FBI even admitted there wasn't any. Mueller even had to admit there wasn't anything in here that's verifiable. And they used that to go and ruin the lives of private citizens because they had spoken up in favor of Trump or worked on his campaign. This is after that. The government didn't have a shred of credibility anyway. And then this happens. And then the goalposts keep being moved. I mean, they say something, then they flip-flop, and something, there's one thing after the other after the other. I mean, there are websites that keep track of this stuff. I mean, first you had the mask thing. Then you had is this something that could be airborne? No, it's not. Well, okay, yes, it is. I mean, it is the contradictions from this helped or didn't help the situation at all. Not at all. I mean, remember, they were going even against each other in the CDC about when schools could reopen. They went back and forth on the severity of the virus. I mean, this goes, it just one after the other after the other. Remember, he was advocating remdesivir, and Fauci was promoting remdesivir in April, and he was looking at a trial prior to it being peer reviewed. He said it's breakthrough. It's going to be the standard of care. And then went back and said, oh, actually, wait, no, I changed my mind on remdesivir. I know three people who were treated successfully with it. One of them is my dear. One of them is a dear friend's mother-in-law who went into the hospital on a Monday and had fluid in the lung and it was increasing. They treated it. They treated her with remdesivir. She drove herself home Wednesday. That's not an exaggeration. And I actually even shared with permission of my friend the actual documentation on Instagram. Her and the not only my friend and her mother-in-law allowed me to do that, just with all the private information redacted, so people could understand that actually, yes, in some people it is a lifesaver. And then one of my best friends, her parents, both got it. And they were treated with remdesivir. Now, they were in the hospital for a little longer because they were a little bit more serious than my friend's mother-in-law when they went in. And it worked. So then he began, after at first they said, yes, remdesivir is great. And then they're like, oh, wait, no, it's not. And then hydroxychloroquine. Oh, no, it's not effective. Can't use it. And then in May, while the debate was ongoing, that the whole situation with, what is it, Kawasaki disease? That's the inflammation, like inflammation of blood vessels in children could be related to it. He was talking about that, and then how that there was a report that came out that looked at compared 2018, 2019, and 2020, and there was no increase. So this was all fear-mongering for nothing. I mean, I could sit here and go on and on about all the ways that the messaging and the flip-flopping have burned through public trust, which is why I get absolutely enraged when I see the rage mob trying to go after good, decent people who they were reasonable people. They understood. We all understood in the beginning. I mean, this is something nobody knew about. Nobody wanted to make it worse. And they were like, okay, we can do that. We can stay 15 days. All right, we can do 15 days. That's we got this. And even then, people were so generous of spirit. After that, 15 days kept getting extended. And then we found out they were lying about the masks and so on and so forth. And then after that, it started to get to be a lot. And then the lockdowns got ridiculous. You know, people were told, okay, you can go to the grocery store. You can get milk, but don't buy any juice that's right next to it. Because you can't. For no reason. I mean, that's not a joke either. I shared those photos on Twitter. It got to be petty and arbitrary. And then people thought, okay, wait a minute, what? People were really, really good and generous of spirit in the beginning. And the government mismanaged it and had horrible messaging. And it is absolutely disgusting, heinous, and reckless to blame people who have every right and are wholly justified in being suspicious or hesitant about anything after every bit of messaging that has gone wrong from this administration. We're going to talk more about this because I have a lot more. Also, we'll have the latest as well. The Republican fight, the latest with Israel too. Immigration. We'll be talking with Julio Rosas later on. So we have a lot to touch on. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Make sure that you subscribe to Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, because I have all kinds of good stuff in there that you're not going to want to miss. So I saw this. This is interesting. I saw this yesterday. It was because I like Elon Musk. I do not at all dislike him, but this tweet was weird. He tweeted, quote, yesterday, "To be clear, I strongly believe in crypto, but it can't drive a massive increase in fossil fuel use, especially coal." End quote. That was his tweet yesterday, because he was talking about why they didn't want to use Bitcoin as currency for or at Tesla. And I thought, I'm going to let you finish. But do you know what you sell? Because that doesn't... Let's talk for a second about it. Cane cobalt is used in the... For EV batteries, yes. electric vehicle batteries.
'Tis true.
Mm-hmm. And really difficult to mine cobalt.
Yeah, it is. And it's extremely poisonous.
Mm,
whether you touch it, whether you breathe it, whether you consume it, it is poisonous.
Yeah, super poisonous and also really bad for the environment. And a lot of it comes from, as we talked about before, Democratic Republic of Congo, and a lot of kids mine it. What about lithium? Also in car batteries. You know, a good portion of that comes from some of the forced labor camps in China, actually. MSN did a whole piece on this. And it's also, you know, not great for the environment. Oh, and the electricity in EV batteries comes from coal-powered plants. I'm just saying, man, come on, messaging. Stick with us. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months, plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Israel has every right to defend itself against Hamas. And I think if you look at what's going on here, it really isn't so much about Israel, it's about Hamas trying to stake a claim to be the leader of the entire Palestinian Authority. They kind of have their little place down in Gaza where they foment a lot of terrorism. They've had a lot of problems going on with the Palestinian Authority. I think this is Hamas's attempt to capitalize on that.
That's America's dad, Governor Ron DeSantis. It's true. Y'all know I'm right. Don't even mess. Y'all know I'm right. It's Ron DeSantis who's saying they have a right to defend themselves. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. It's Friday. Thank heavens. It's Friday. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, too. And make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter chapter and verse. Lots of good stuff in that. So, I didn't realize he hadn't appointed ambassador to Israel yet. Right. I did not know that. He was asked about, well, he, through Jen Psaki. This is audio soundbite 12. This was the answer on that at yesterday's presser.
Why hasn't the administration prioritized naming an ambassador to Israel? And will that name be in the next batch of ambassadors that are named by this White House?
Well, I would expect we'd have more in the coming weeks on nominating an ambassador to Israel. But I will say, and having lived and served at the State Department for a couple of years, we have a very talented, trusted career diplomat who is there on the ground, who is fully engaged with the White House, is fully engaged with leaders in the region.
So they don't really have an answer to that. Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. So it's a temporary, but nothing. I think that would probably be something that's pretty important that needs to get done. But yesterday it was very, very brilliant misdirection, because Israel was messaging that they were going to send in ground forces, and they were, you know, amassing some things optically. And so by that, Hamas thought that, you know, what was hitting the fan. So they decided to take to what they call the metro in Gaza, which is all the underground tunnels. And that's what Israeli aircraft ended up bombing. And they took out, they've been taking out some of these, the headquarters and meeting places of Hamas. And Hamas ended up, I think, was like over 200 of their own people, because they apparently don't know how to fire the bombs that Iran gave them, or fire off the rockets that Iran gave them. It's like giving somebody a stick shift and then not, they don't know how to drive. I mean, because there were so many reports of their rockets just like errantly going not the way that they were supposed to go. I mean, it's not anything to laugh about, but my gosh, it's sad. So there's a lot of, if you've seen the messaging and the headline on this, it's kind of, and we're going to get into more of the coronavirus stuff. It's absolutely ridiculous, because the propaganda that is out there is irresponsible. It is absolutely irresponsible. And the way that the media has been discussing it, and the way that they have been treating it, it's even looking at some of these Congress people like Ilhan Omar and the things that they've been pushing. The thing with this, and there's the propaganda is so ridiculous, and the disinformation. When you talk about disinformation on social media and everything else, apparently that only seems to apply to facts that people on the right come out with that people on the left disagree with. Right? Isn't that, or that they won't?
Or it falls in the face of their narrative.
Right, exactly. So the idea that, oh my gosh, Israel is committing terrorism. It's an act. That's what Ilhan Omar said. She's like, oh my gosh, it's an act of terrorism. But that's not even accurate. The Federalist ran a big piece on this, talking about Ilhan Omar and her accusation. Because the only reason, as I said, the only reason that they were even going over airstrikes doing these airstrikes in the first place was because the Hamas, which runs Gaza, was just randomly, indiscriminately, just firing off tons of missiles into Israel. And they weren't only aimed at the same stuff that they usually fire at in the southern part of Israel, but they were targeting majorly populated areas like Tel Aviv and major civilian areas like Jerusalem. And they've hit schools, and they've struck hospitals, and they've blown up homes. Hamas's attacks are aimed at civilians, and this is the biggest thing to understand. Hamas is not carrying out strategic military strikes. They're just targeting civilians. They want people to live in fear of what they do. The difference is that Israel carries out targeted military strikes, not targeting civilians. They're looking at their operation centers of Hamas. And not only do they take great pains to carry out targeted precision strikes, but they also evacuate any areas if there are civilians there to get them out of the way. Like, one of the buildings that they struck had been evacuated of all civilians, but that's something that Hamas's propaganda did not want to get out. Now, this, I mean, there's loss of life on both sides, and it wouldn't have to be this way if Hamas just stopped bombing people. Every single time there's been a truce, every single time that there's been this something that's been some kind of lull, they have always broken it with rockets. Now, the Iron Dome technology, they invested in that to protect people. I said yesterday, there's only one country that has to have an Iron Dome. I mean, you know, that's Hamas puts all of its senior officials in those tunnels, and then they fire their rockets off. So the idea that one of the things that this all stemmed from was this falsehood about the Al-Aqsa mosque that happened. And this came, actually, I was trying to figure out, where did this come from? And I don't know if it got big because of Trevor Noah or what, but there was all of these, like, so on Twitter, there were these like videos, and there was stuff on TikTok, and there was stuff on Instagram of like tear gas. And the Aqsa Mosque is considered one of the holiest sites in Islam. And they were trying to say that people were being attacked at this mosque, you know, et cetera. But what they were doing was, as Israel prevented Jewish people from even praying at Temple Mount, which is their holiest site. The people that were coming out to the mosque that were supposed to be going out there to pray, they were actually staging it, using it as like a staging ground for riots. And they were like trying to engage in violence with the Jewish worshipers that were, they couldn't go to the Temple Mount to pray, so they could try to get as close as they could, basically. And there were pictures, and remember I remarked on this Monday, there were pictures of around the mosque that they were like massive piles of just rocks. Guess who was throwing rocks? There was no, they weren't going there to peacefully pray, the people that were going to the mosque. They had rocks there waiting for them, and they were, they immediately began throwing them at Israeli police who were there to keep the peace. So, because Jewish people were not allowed to go and pray. And so Israeli police just simply responded. That was it. And that's when you saw the video of that guy who was in his car, and they were trying to pull him out of the car, and then he was trying to drive away, and they were throwing rocks at him still. And the Palestinians were throwing rocks at this Israeli guy, and then a cop had to, save him. Good heavens. So, by the way, the idea, too, that all of this would end if Israel just gave all Palestinians a state is not accurate, because every single time that Israel gives up anything, and they've been doing this since like what, I for how long now? It's never worked. It's never worked. Since 19, all of the Arab nations, all of these Arab governments have been trying to destabilize and destroy Israel since the 40s. There was a really good piece, let me pull this up, that was written by Jack Elbaum. It was really good, and he says that in this piece, he says, in Enid Wilf's and Adi Schwartz's book, The War of Return, they point out for the reason for this continuous violence is that many Palestinians truly believe the war of 1948 is not over and that Israel is a temporary project. But if both sides can simply accept that the other has a right to live safely in a country of their own, then the conflict would be over. Israel was able to make peace with Egypt just 2 years after they said they wanted peace, a fact further bolstered by the openness to peace Israel displayed throughout the 2020 Abraham Accords. True. Absolutely true. But there's this idea that they have some kind of claim or right to the area, or that their history goes back further than that of Jewish people. And that's just not true. It's absolutely not true. I mean, the Palestinians were named. They were named after someone. So this goes back to, I mean, how far y'all want to go back? Do you want to go back to 1000 BC or like what? Like, do you want to go back to the time of King David when he established the kingdom of Israel? I mean, how far? And then in Solomon's rule, you had Judea and Israel. And then Israel began. They started referring to it as Samaria. And it just got different names. But Judah became part of the Babylons. And then they fell to the Persians. That was before Jesus was on earth. And then Cyrus allowed Jewish people to come back and rebuild. And then it went on and on and on over the years. It went on. And then even like with Hadrian's Wall, there was another revolt. This is AD 135. And that's when Hadrian changed the name of Judea to Palestine. Syria, Palestinia, became referred to as Palestine. And Hadrian threw out all of the Jews in the area. And people who were allowed to take up residence were named Palestinians. And that name ended up sticking. There is no dispute at all. And there's a good piece at NRO about this, too, that even goes all up to League of Nations. There's no dispute at all that of when the Kingdom of Israel was founded, that the people of Israel had conquered previously and repeatedly the land. And it was because it was originally known as Canaan, and that's historically where their nation is. That's not up for dispute. I mean, how long do people want to sit here and stay in this? And I mean, we can go and just have us a big old lesson in Old Testament if we want to look at all the history of it. But because there's so much of that argument that hangs on the premise that historically, this is a Palestinian country, et cetera, and it's not Israel's country, and that's not supported. They try to rewrite history. I've had people tell me that it was bigoted to just simply note that Israelis were settled in the area and had founded the Kingdom of Israel and so on and so forth with King David before Palestinians. People say that's bigoted. I can't tell you how many times people were like, "Uh-uh, that's racist." Coming up, this is what we got. We will get into a few other things. We got the latest with some of the GOP battle. The latest as it relates to coronavirus. Wait until you hear some of this audio of some of the folks that were on MSNBC. They are telling themselves and everybody else that they're going to have to retrain their brains to not freak out at people if they're not wearing a mask because of this order from the CDC. Not kidding. We also have critical race theory stuff. So in my school district, the proponents of CRT have taken to doxing parents who spoke out against CRT and are trying to get them fired from their jobs.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh boy, it's like technical glitch city today. So the crypto market tanked because Tesla suspended those Bitcoin payments. I was telling you guys about that. And I wanted to make sure. There was one other headline that I didn't get from last headline segment that I wanted to. This came out of USA Today. A congresswoman, this is USA Today, is pushing pushing some kind of like bipartisan bill to protect pregnant employees and require companies to provide certain benefits, which I thought companies kind of already did. So I'm confused about this. Also, Chrissy Teigen is apparently getting canceled. Not really getting canceled. I would say maybe getting held to account for telling a bunch of teenage girls apparently to kill themselves. Courtney Stoddard, I think Stoddard her name, and a bunch of others. Yeah, her Target dropped her cookware line.
What are you doing now with the relaxation of the restrictions on people who have vaccinated is trying to get back to a degree of normality, which people who get vaccinated deserve to have that. That's been one of the things that's been the concern, saying, if I get vaccinated, what difference is it going to make? My life hasn't really changed that much. Well, now your life is going to change that much.
Yeah, well, our technical difficulties are coronavirus.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. That was Dr. Fauci. And yeah, we're on the struggle bus with some tech today. Okay, so you just bear with us, okay? Rachel, if you want to grab the meme of that girl that I threw in Slack, because this is all of us right now. We are all, I feel like this. No. I did everything because I put her everywhere. I'm like, I feel her right now. So all of us, like, we're on break freaking out because suddenly Steve's not there anymore. And we're like, it's either the rapture and we're all heathens or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I can relate to that little bit.
So, like, what happened? Or maybe we are all this chick right now. This is us. Live look at all of us right now dealing with the tech struggle bus. We're just trying to color our picture, man. We're so stressed. Oh, this is us. Oh, my gosh. So, that was Fauci saying, you know, we need some normalcy. Only people who have been vaccinated deserve a degree of normalcy. Everyone else, you can go to hell. I'm just saying.
I don't get it. If you're vaccinated, though, what do you care about anybody else for?
Oh, my gosh, Kane, do you not know how this works?
I don't, I guess.
So, like, if you get vaccinated and I get vaccinated and Steve doesn't get vaccinated, then our vaccinations don't work.
What?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's science.
It's totally how it works.
Is it?
Yeah. You know, in order for something to be real, everybody has to believe it. There can be no dissent.
I mean, the filter of freedom can still exist with science as well.
No, it can't.
People that aren't wearing masks are not affecting those who are vaccinated. And if you are scared as a person who might be, a little diminished in health, then you do what you need to do for yourself. All right? Don't dictate other people's behaviors because you have the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all right. I know it's Friday. I'm like that little girl, only more expressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do I have to go back to my giraffe head?
Probably.
I bought a silicone giraffe head.
Probably.
And a Bane mask. And my kids were like, please don't do it. Oh my gosh, she's doing it. Yeah. Just saying. I feel like I need to go back to that. Look, if you're worried about it, then don't do it. I'm a germaphobe, so no dirt physically can't touch me because I am pretty much made of bleach at this point and Clorox and all the things. I'm just saying. Like, I explain to people the studio. Like, we have a, I don't even know what it's called. An ozonator? I don't know what it is. We ozonate the whole studio. Everything gets locked up, shut down. It's like factory standard. Yep. And we ozonate everything. And we've had this thing for a long time. Not a long time, but before the lockdown, because that's high. Yes, I do ozonate rooms after guest stays. This is me. So I just think when he's like, oh, yeah, people who have been vaccinated, but the rest of you all go to hell. I mean, I know he didn't say that, but it feels like that. Some people have some concerns is all I'm saying here. I don't know why that's such a big thing for people to grasp. There's so many things that are happening that people don't even want to, that they're not even talking about. And yet we're the bad people if we say, well, we're a little bit hesitant. You know, I said earlier all the different ways that our government has gone back and forth and you know, really have really kind of clouded the messaging. And, you know, whether it was misrepresenting studies like we mentioned with the CDC yesterday or, you know, a number of different things, this is becoming, you know, it's pretty problematic. And then, you know, there's also the issue of that women have brought up, and there's been a lot of discussion about it on Reddit, for instance, this idea that now there's going to be a little too much for some of you dudes out there, but I'm sorry. This is, you know, I am a chick. I don't know if you've noticed. I'm, you know, no, I'm not fluid. I'm just like girl. Okay. Although I do have the biggest cigar, but there were all of these studies and all of these discussions about what the vaccine is doing to women with irregular menstrual, like how it's giving women irregular menstrual cycles. And I'm just reporting on the science here. If you even so much as share this link or talk about it, then you're told that you're promoting misinformation. Because I've some of the hate mail that I'm going to read for money later on. Some of you have said, well, a couple of drive-bys have said that. But there are a bunch of doctors who've been talking about this. All you can do at this point is just you notify the CDC. But like, for instance, in this one doctor's practice, she had 32 people that reported changes to their menstrual cycle. And it's not a huge reason to be concerned, but it's enough that I feel it doesn't have to be concerning. It's my body. I have a right to know. The end. It's either your body, your choice, or it's not, right? So, and in fact, there was another OBGYN who was trying to figure out, you know, how this was related and whether or not this could be considered maybe a side effect or something like that. But there's been a lot of discussion about this. And, you know, I feel like people are blowing off these symptoms and no one's discussing it. No one's discussing any of this. They're not discussing the irregularity, and women are afraid to even talk about it because they're afraid that even questions about this are going to cause people to shame them as being anti-vaccine. Or, you know, there have been stories of women who have been struggling with infertility, and, you know, you have to time all that out. I've had family members that have gone through this, and you have to get the shots and you have to do this and that, and you have to have like certain levels and of hormones. And then they got the vaccine because no one told them they couldn't. And everything got out of whack and they had, if people who are dealing with infertility or hormonal issues or are perimenopausal or menopausal, they may have to go for several months before things are regulated again. And there's been no discussion about this from the CDC. You can't ask questions because then you're called an anti-vaxxer. You can't even share any information and ask for feedback because then you're accused of spreading misinformation. It is like this rage mob crowd control effect, where they're trying to shame people and emotionally browbeat them and abuse them and hold them. I mean, it's extortion. It's emotional extortion to hold them hostage like this so that you can affect a particular behavior or outcome, when all people want is just some transparency and ask some questions. I don't use this very, I rarely ever say this. And there is, in the way that this has been handled and discussed by the media, there's been a strain of sexism in this, because women can't even talk about this. And do you know where I saw this? I was watching verified female like accounts on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram discuss this. And then I watched them get piled on by people who accused them of irresponsibly spreading misinformation. And they were just serious. And I don't even agree with a lot of these women, but they were like, wait, we're just asking a question here. We can't even ask questions anymore. Where else have we seen that? Nuance is dead, even in the discussion of vaccines. Where else have we seen that? Asking questions isn't anti-anything. It's the opposite. And here's another thing that I found really unnerving. Now, I've never gotten into all of it, and I'm totally fine, but I had a couple major health scares over the past year. And, I mean, some of them were, you know, kind of like, you know, physically, no, I mean, I dropped 20, 25 pounds. Some of them, and everything's fine. Thankfully, it's, you know, false positive stuff. But, like, I had to go through this, like, 3-month thing. And it was kind of, you know, and so after that, I'm like super sensitive to some of this stuff. And I'm already a germaphobe. And there was this piece where they were discussing medications and treatments and vaccines and all this stuff. And they said another discovery was that, and this was the clevelandclinic.org. They were discussing this there. Another recent discovery was that both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines could cause lymph nodes in your armpits to swell. Now, that's not... That's happened. I mean, your lymph nodes can swell when you're dealing, when you're fighting off infections and that. But, and especially on the side, they say where the shot was administered. It's been mistaken as lumps by a lot of people. And they said the Society of Breast Imaging has since recommended scheduling a mammogram before getting the first dose of the vaccine, or 4 to 6 weeks after getting the second dose. None of this stuff is discussed. Have you heard any of this come out of any press conference?
Nope.
Is it wrong to ask questions about this? Or should we just be saying, yes, sir, Uncle Sam, you just inject us with whatever you want. You go ahead. We won't ask questions for fear of being accused of spreading misinformation. Because I feel like telling women not to talk about this because it could be viewed as spreading misinformation is the same thing as telling us to shut up and get back into the kitchen. Where am I wrong? And just like it has all throughout history, since they stood against the 19th Amendment, it seems to be coming from one side only. Right? Just saying. We have a lot more to touch on. I know we got Florida Man. I have actually like 5 other bullet points on this that we're not going to be able to get to. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out this. And I'll actually add this right now into the draft of the newsletter. These stories that I just referenced, so that you can just read them for yourselves and, you know, come to your own conclusions. Like I said, I just want to have as much information as possible before I make a decision. That's opposite of anti. And I'm really tired of the rewriting of words and definitions by the left. It needs to stop.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, I have a question. How many people have to wrestle their damn dogs away from gators all the time in Florida? Because this is the third story so far this year. We've had 2 different stories, and I double-checked to make sure that this was not one that I've already read. And it's not. This is in Holiday, Florida. Jake the dog, He's happy to greet visitors even after a gator tried to eat him for breakfast. So Jake's owner, Mike McCoy, said he's on the mend. He's full of spit and vinegar. McCoy was walking his 8-month-old chocolate lab near a pond, and he said, out of nowhere, a gator sprang forward, pulled Jake under. He said he was in the death roll with that gator. And he said that Mike, the neighbors watched. Mike jumped in the water. He said he was familiar with him. He thumped him in the eye, picked him up out of the water, wrestled him. And the owner and dog both got stitches, but thankfully nothing worse. I would have done the same thing, except I would also be like rocking like some serious lead, popping that gator. I'm telling you what, I have dove in. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell. I would dive, even if it wasn't my dog, I think I would fight a gator. If it was your dog, I would jump in and fight a gator. I can't. These stories make me nervous. Whenever I'm in Florida and I'm near a body of water, you should see me. I'm legit like crossing to the other side of the road. I will. I mean, it's beautiful there. I love it. But damn. I mean, it's like Australia. Honestly, I just don't know if they got anything on like the Florida wildlife. That's why the people down there are resilient, because they don't take nothing. They don't take it. Let's see. I've got so many more. This one, a Hummer with four containers of gas inside burst into flames after somebody filled it up at a gas station. Was it grounded? Did they have them on the ground when they were filling them? I don't.
Static electricity is real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why you got to keep those canisters on the ground when you're filling those gas cans up, by the way. Firefighters found 4 5-gallon containers filled with gas. It was in the back of this Hummer. And they said that, this Hummer's burnt to a crisp. It's gone. There's no saving it. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? They had the firefighters come out. They said that, yeah, they was at a Texaco food mart, and they were filling them up with gas in the back of the Hummer. Keep them on the ground, folks, when you're doing that. And don't panic buy. Stick with us.
You and your colleagues, for at least in part, were elected to block the Biden agenda, which Republicans believe is too far left and could lead to other things. Aren't they correct to claim that your focus on the election and President Trump was somehow not going to get them to that goal?
No, I think that's actually wrong, Brett. I think if you look at where we've been since the election, since January 6th, we've had a real focus on making sure people understand that the Biden policies are dangerous.
Well, that interview was ridiculous. That was taking place with Brett Baer and Liz Cheney, who was voted out of conference chair, and Elise Stefanik was voted in. I think that Trump was wrong on that when he was saying, when Chip Roy was, he was nominated to run for that seat, and he's a staunch conservative, and unlike Elise Stefanik, he actually didn't vote to condemn the former president for the Obamacare lawsuit, nor did he vote against Trump's tax cuts. Nor did he vote against funding for the Trump border wall. Nor did he vote for amnesty. Nor did he. I mean, there's a million things. He didn't vote for the climate change Paris Accord thing with the one of the bills that Stefanik that I wrote about in my newsletter that she voted for. I wrote about all this at Chapter and Verse. You can get it at danalash.com. It's good to be with you. It's Friday. We're going to try to fit everything in here. And I mean, it's a packed day, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get to everything, but I'm going to give it the best effort. So it's good to be with you. DanaLash.com. So, I'm at this point, I'm kind of done with the GOP, back and forth. Maybe can they, I thought Chip Roy was real classy. He said, congrats to my colleague, et cetera, et cetera. Let's get back to work. And maybe that can happen. Hopefully it can. Maybe it would be great if everybody actually could get back to work. The government says you can live again. Joe Biden said that you either have to get the vaccine or wear a mask. Pick one. And then Rachel Maddow, this was bizarre. I wanted to play this for you. This is kind of the thinking of a lot that I seem to be hearing from a lot of people who are on the left. Listen to this. She was saying that she has to rewire herself to see unmasked people. Listen.
I mean, we're going to have to rewire the way that we look at each other, because the CDC's guidance, which she just told me we are sure, is that if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask except in very specific circumstances. And so that means as we change that as a country, we are going to look at each other differently and have to unwire our preconceptions about what a mask or a lack of a mask means. President Biden spoke to that a little bit today, President Biden actually and Dr. Fauci both spoke to that today, asking for people to essentially be patient, be compassionate, give people respect for whatever they decide on this front.
Yeah, there you go. Look at that. We have to rewire yourself to no longer. If you had to look at people like that as a threat anyway, I think that you needed rewiring long before then.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were that terrified, that then you should not go out into the world. Just saying, you shouldn't go out into the world if you're that scared. I just, so many things are ridiculous. All of this, we're going to see how this all plays out. But it is very, it's like, it sounds like a damn cult, honestly. Just, this idea that you have to look at people who don't wear masks in a different way. You know, the other thing that's going on with this, the lipstick industry is going to see a resurgence. Because nobody could, you couldn't wear it when you were wearing your mask. You couldn't do it. All right, a million things here. I want to make sure I hit everything because we're going to talk to Julio Rosas coming up. He's been at the border, and The Intercept hates journalism. Twitter, by the way, has deleted over 2,000 of my followers just over the past couple of days. They're trying to delete all of my followers so they push me under a million. I would have had over 2 million at this point, but they've deleted several hundred thousand of my followers. And I've taken screenshots almost every week for a year and a half. And I've taken screenshots the past month every day. And you can see that. And they're not. And I mean, and I know for a fact that they're not people who are just deleting their accounts, because I've had to refollow my own husband now 3 times. I had to refollow him again on Tuesday.
I've actually had to refollow you. Twitter made me unfollow you more than once in the last year.
Yeah. So it's not a good measure of anything. It really isn't. And I think that's so pathetic when people are so worried and they lack so much confidence in their own perspectives that they have to try to suppress speech in order to feel like it's fair. That's not fair. That's you sucking and trying to make up for it. Just get better at persuasion or get a different idea. Real simple. So Julio Rosas is going to be joining us because, as you know, Julio, he just goes and gets video. He gets video for news sites. But because he's there and people know that his videos have shown like some of the Antifa destruction and everything else, now there's like this huge piece. They're trying to say that all these people are right wing, like Andy Ngo. They're saying that Andy Ngo was some right wing Nazi. He's a gay Asian man who I don't even know what his politics are. Don't care. But that's his job. Where is this defensive press when you're getting video of Antifa burning down buildings and attacking, you know, federal courthouses, etc. If you want to talk about, you know, an insurgency. So The Intercept ran this piece on them and saying that right-wing journalists are smearing BLM and Antifa. Now, remember, they almost beat Andy Ngo to death. He was hospitalized. They beat him to death, almost to death on camera. He was hospitalized to get over brain swelling. Brain bleed. He had bleeding on the brain. They beat him up so bad. And again, on camera. So I think the problem isn't the journalists. I think the problem is the people that are doing the burning and the attacks on people. Just putting it out there. Julio's also been at the border. And he's one of the people that noted the change of the facility names. It's like HGTV's new show, Fixer Upper, Migrant Facility. And they feature decorators who take 2017's concentration camps and detention facilities and they turn them into housing facilities and hospitality centers.
Wow.
Just an extra coat of paint and some shiplap, and it's all different. Look, if you wrap lights around the bars in the window, it makes it go from a detention facility to a hospitality center. See, super different.
Wow.
Amazing. I had to add shiplap in there. I did not know what that was until like a year ago. I was like, isn't that just siding? No, it's not. The whole internet told me.
It's distressed wood.
Yeah, everyone was like, it's not. But technically, it could be siding. Don't send me any email about it again. Just saying. Isn't that kind of, but it is sort of like that. No, there's been no question on that. Nobody's been questioning. Wait a minute, why? So it's a hospitality center and a housing facility. That sounds like resort-like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, how did they go from being a concentration camp to a hospitality center? It's literally, they're the same facilities. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez went down there. She went down to the border in a white suit. Have you ever been to the border? Because you wouldn't wear a white suit. Went down there and remember she was crying outside of a fence that actually was only...
It was open.
It was open. Yeah. I mean, it was open like there wasn't even a gate. You could drive through. She was right on the other side of where you could drive through. And that's where she took pictures of herself and then had other people take pictures of her. And she had pictures of herself all over Instagram where she was by this fence crying. And then she went back and didn't actually do anything.
Has she shed any tears over these?
No.
What are they, hospitality centers?
Yeah, she's only tweeted a couple of times like, oh, that's so unfortunate. And that's pretty, yeah, it's
well,
totally.
If I was just a passive news consumer, that would make me feel better. Hearing that they're just housing facility centers and just friendly things, yeah, that would make me feel good.
See, all you got to do is just get some shiplap and make some little curtains, put these little curtains up and have some shiplap. And that's really the only thing I know about the home improvement
thing. Double
the
amount of people housed, but yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, super simple. Maybe put some turf in right around here, like for a nice oasis, backyard oasis.
Throw pillow.
Yeah, get some throw pillows. Throw pillows will really change up a concentration camp to a hospitality center at the border. I mean, not to, and to say nothing of calling these things concentration camps. I mean, could you devalue that actual phrase anymore? Just the, you know, have you not ever heard of history or what happened? Like, why would you even call them that? That's so, I mean, at one of these, the ones where they had like the older teens in, they were playing soccer and grilling. I know. And I was like, that actually, can I play? Because that looked kind of fun. Can I go and play? And it was not a concentration camp. Good night.
That's what I plan on doing this weekend.
What? Playing soccer and grilling?
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to say anything about soccer. Whoa. Whoa. Good night. So I'm just, you know, just saying that maybe...
If they just concentrate on grilling and having fun, is that still a concentration camp?
I don't know. I mean, or is it a detention facility? I'm confused about this. I don't know. I don't know how this works. I mean, it changes so often. Who knows, right? Who knows? Okay, so I've got some, where is it? Either cancel culture or... So I was wondering why Colin... I have to tell you this. So one night this week when I don't remember if it was on Hannity or if it was primetime or what, but they were going to have me on, and they originally were going to have me on to talk about like Tim Tebow and something with Kaepernick. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if there's anything I know less about, it's football. And I always tell people this. I'm like, if you're going to book me, never, ever ask me anything about football. I grew up in St. Louis. We have some issues. Okay. Like we won the Super Bowl and then we got screwed over and everybody up there is still paying the tax on the brand new stadium that they built to keep a team for what, a second?
Yeah, a little more than that.
Yeah. So there is some hard feelings. It's a baseball town. We are a baseball town. Like we celebrate God's team, which is the Cardinals. And don't argue. Just don't. So I don't know. I've never taken it upon myself to follow football. Then you move to Dallas and people put signs and wreaths up that they're about football. Like football is part of home decor for everybody in Texas. So they had this thing where they were asking about Tebow and Kaepernick. And I so don't follow football that I didn't even know that what it was about. And I was actually getting ready to Kane and Steve to message you guys and be like, guys, you're literally going to have to write my talking points or tell me what I need to know about football. Because if this is something about how good people play, I don't know. I literally have no idea. I can't even tell you if somebody throws a good football. I don't even know if that's the phrase you use. I have no idea about football. I am Joe Biden. Again, it's like Joe Biden talking about guns, me talking about football. And I only know the positions that sound like band names. Or the names let me ask you this. No, I'm not going to ask you that. That's a dumb question. Nope, not going to do that because I will never live it down. So anyway, my whole thing is that apparently Kaepernick he's back with a book on critical race theory, or it's about critical race theory, I guess. It's called Abolition for the People, The Movement for a Future Without Policing and Prisons.
Oh my God.
Is it a fairy tale? How about a movement for people without crime and evil? I mean, there's a reason people break the law if somebody murders someone, they go to prison, right? Is that how it works? If you run over a kid on the road, then you can get in trouble and go to prison. If you, you know, like, are selling lots of drugs, you could go to prison. I mean, there's like all kinds of, you know, there's certain things that you can't do. But apparently it's all bad. I don't know. So he wrote, and by wrote, I mean he had a ghost-written book released in his name. And he's been pushing it on, like, I don't know anybody who has had more privilege than some of the people who've been yelling the loudest about privilege. Like, I wanted to say this on Hannity last night. The what were we talking about? The people were mad at Ted Cruz, and they were saying Ted Cruz has betrayed his heritage or something, which I thought was super offensive. Because I guess political parties have patents on ethnicity and all. It was MSNBC that had said it. And it blows my mind that the people who yell about this the loudest have been the beneficiaries of some of the greatest privilege that I've ever seen. And I say this once again, as somebody who's raised broke by a single mom, came from nothing. And I see people who started out way better than I ever did and had more opportunity than I ever had, and they're complaining the loudest. Maybe it's about merit.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, my goodness. So, I saw this story where Governor Ron DeSantis had... He's giving clemency to anybody who was arrested over the like mask mandate and the orders for the mask mandate and all of this stuff, which is, so that's, you know, that's kind of a, that's, well, but can I just say one thing? I'm not being critical, but couldn't this have been done a lot earlier? Could this have been done a lot earlier? Like, or maybe people could have never been arrested for it. Yeah, so ABC News also says that, you know, those hotbeds for coronavirus that health experts were warning everybody about, and they were saying that they were hotbeds, apparently they weren't. That's the other new study that is out. At least, you know, ABC is like reporting about it. So when they were talking about restrictions in certain areas because of, you know, such and such, this area is a hotspot, this area is a hotspot, apparently they were incorrectly counting cases. And ABC News, they reported on this with by looking at public data in multiple states, and they revealed the locations where everyone was saying that where they were hotspots, they actually weren't. Is anyone including CT scores? Remember the cycle threshold? Julio Rosas joins us next. That big old mean person. We'll talk about it. We'll talk with him.
Listen to the Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. Make sure you subscribe to that newsletter, chapter and verse. We've been dealing, we're on the struggle bus with some technical stuff today. We've never had anything like that before occur. So just, yeah, not today ever. So we're fighting the good fight. But it's good to be with you this Friday. I enjoy hanging out with y'all. And one of the things that, you know, we've been covering everything, going over Israel, going over the Republican fight, looking at some of the critical race theory, cancel culture stuff. And we haven't had a chance to get into media. And this is what is really getting me. I saw this headline and I was so angry about it. And I'm glad that people are pushing back. The Intercept published this piece. Isn't that the Glenn Greenwald founded publication? I know he's not with them anymore, but it's just so ironic. They wrote, "Meet the Riot Squad, right-wing reporters whose viral videos are used to smear Black Lives Matter." And I was reading this, and the first name that they had, like right there, sentence number one, they're talking about our friend Julio Rosas from Town Hall. Now, Julio, as you know, he's been on the program many times. He's traveled. I don't know anybody who travels as much as he does. He's traveled all over the country, and all he has been doing is getting footage of when the riots are taking place and the destruction is happening and buildings are burning. And I know that he's a Marine, but I still am like, I get, you know, you get worried for your friends when you see them out there in these situations. And I know he can handle himself, and no disrespect on that at all. But you just get worried about people because, you know, I've had a number of friends who work in media who have been in the middle of stuff and things have gone sideways. And he's always there getting the best footage. I mean, most of the footage that you're seeing on television is from Julio. And he doesn't do it in an unfair manner. He shows everything. But the problem with that is it shows everything, as I just said. So you've had BLM, you've had Antifa, they've gotten really angry at him. And this article at The Intercept, it not only talks about Julio, but they talk about Andy Ngo, who was almost beaten to death, and he had a brain bleed. He was hospitalized. They talk about people who are just simply getting video footage and treating them. And these are members of the press. And I thought that the press was a sacred thing. And I haven't seen anyone else in the media go out and defend these members of the press. Why? Because their footage is critical of Antifa or BLM. Now, Julio Rosas, again, is traveling. We were going to have him join via Skype. But again, we're on the struggle bus with technical difficulties. And we appreciate him navigating that with us. But he is at the border right now. He's down there. You know, the border's closed and everything. That's what the administration had said. Apparently, no one was told. But Julio's been down there at the border, and I'm going to get his thoughts as to what's happening there. But I've got to get his reaction, too, to this piece. And I should add that Town Hall wrote a great column from their staff where they really defended him and stand behind their work. Julio, as always, good to be with you, my friend. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Dana.
Of course. I know, because you're all about, you know, straight business. You're all news. But I got to get your thoughts on this Intercept piece, because, you know, I've watched your work and I've actually seen other people's videos where you're in them simply recording other people. And you don't do anything to bring attention to yourself. You don't make yourself part of the story. You're there to capture the story, which is why your work is so incredibly good. And how did you feel about this piece being published and characterizing you in this respect? Where's the defense of the free press?
Well, it's funny because, I mean, I was completely blindsided. I was getting ready to pack up and leave to head down. I'm in McAllen, Texas right now. And so I was, you know, just packing up and getting ready to go and, you know, focus on that. And all of a sudden this was brought to my attention. And so I watched the whole thing. I watched all 24 minutes. It was a complete waste of my time. And I'm in it, so I mean, mm-hmm. But it's a smear piece. It fails in that regard. So I mean, it's just a shoddy work of journalism, because they clearly did spend a lot of time and effort into this, except their research was shoddy to provide the very first example. I mean, they really like to say that we're really only covering riots, and look, obviously that was a big part of my work last year and even a little bit into this year. The issue is that there were plenty of other times when I was either in Kenosha, Minneapolis, or Chaz, when I noted that, like, yeah, there are peaceful things happening right now, and so they didn't really acknowledge that. They also barely acknowledged that I covered the Capitol riot, because here's the thing: I don't care what type of group is rioting. I enjoy covering riots of all types, and you know, I covered Black Lives Matter riots, Antifa riots, and I covered when Trump supporters rioted, right? And so I don't care who it is. As long as I can go cover a riot, I'm happy in that regard. But it's just a complete joke. And, you know, I never really paid attention to Intercept, even when Glenn Greenwald was a part of it. And so, you know, I'm told its standards have fallen drastically, and clearly I can say that they really did, because they also accused Richie McGinnis, who's a friend of mine, of deleting footage in order to protect Kyle Rittenhouse, which is just not true at all. I mean, so like it's just so filled with holes, and it's a joke. I mean, it's a complete joke, and I'm just going to keep doing what I do best. I mean, it's not going to stop me.
No, and that's a great point. And then the point about the accusing somebody of deleting footage, I mean, I guess that person was unaware. I guess they were unaware that there's multiple cameras, and so there's so much video footage out there that that accusation doesn't even make sense when contrasted against all the other video footage that actually has, like, your friend in the frame recording the whole Rittenhouse thing. That's what I also thought was kooky about that smear, because none of the other footage supports that. I mean, his footage was consistent with everything else that was shown. Well, you do a great job, and I know we and everybody else appreciates it. What gets me is that they were angrier at you than the people who were actually carrying out the destruction. They had nothing to say about them. Nothing bad.
Well, right, exactly. And you know, they're accusing us of, you know, trying to sanitize or trying to overhype or whatever. And yet they did the exact same thing that they were accusing us of doing, which is, you know, being misleading, which they were. I mean, there are things that were just flat out false. I mean, it's even worse than being misleading. But then also just because, you know, they said, you know, they were saying that we were trying to put out a preferred narrative, which is not true. And to combat that, they wanted to say, oh, well, because, you know, there was some unrest at this racial justice movement. And, you know, I'm not really sure what exactly promotes racial justice when people are looting and burning minority owned businesses in the inner city. And so, you know, it's not my fault that most of the rioting that happened last year and even a little bit of this year was from BLM types or Antifa or, you know, or just far left progressive anarcho-communist type groups. You know, like I said, I don't care who riots. And so those were the groups that did riot last year. And so I cover everything fairly and accurately. I don't deceptively edit my footage because I know that my name is my currency in this industry, and especially since I'm in conservative media. And I know that as soon as I devalue that, I'm going to be out of work, as I should be, right? Because then I'm not, I'm proven to be untrustworthy. But I have built up my entire career on my word and on my ability to record and relay accurate information in real time in hectic situations. And so I'm not going to ruin that to put out a preferred narrative, because that's just, to me, that's just not worth it.
I'm into that. And I would read the tweet that you had that you put out yesterday where you responded to it. But the last part, I agree with it a whole 100%. I totally get fined for saying it, but I am right there with you in spirit, my friend. All right, so to where you are now, the border. I was told it was closed, so I guess there's nothing to report, right?
Well, you know, surprise, surprise, it's not true. And that's exactly right. Whether it's at a riot or it's at the border, the reason why I like to go to these things in person is because I want to see it for myself, and so I can... Because, you know, anyone can just sit at home or sit in the office and just type from D.C. or New York City. And I'm not saying there isn't uses for that, but if there's opportunity to go out to a riot or go out into the border to see it firsthand, that I think that it definitely has more weight and value. And so yesterday I wrote this up for Town Hall for our VIP subscribers. But I was with the Brooks County Sheriff's Department or Sheriff's Office, sorry. And that's about an hour north of the U.S.-Mexico border, and basically we were, I was with the deputy, and we were just basically on call to respond to vehicles trafficking illegal immigrants. And so it was interesting to see, because when you're right at the border and you see the people willingly turning themselves over, it's unaccompanied minors, it's people with family units with very young children. Whereas literally we had just started the ride along, and about 10 minutes in, we got a call for a Border Patrol agent for backup. And there was a driver who was attempting to drive away. That's why, because he was just by himself, the agent. And so the driver had 6 illegal immigrants with them. And so they were above the age of 18. So they're not, they will be deported. Right. And so that's why they were trying to avoid being detected. And so it was very interesting to see kind of the difference in the demographics, difference in the tactics, and then obviously a different terrain, because we are away from the river. You know, this is more in the interior of the United States. And so it was interesting to see how ranchers have been, you know, dealing with this influx, you know, destroying their fencing, which then, you know, runs risk of their animals getting out, whether it's for, you know, hunting, or whether it's for farming of their, you know, hides or whatever. And so it's just really sad to see, because, you know, obviously it happens all the time, but the difference is that we're just seeing such a giant surge because the Biden administration is signaling these people it's easier to get in. And in a lot of ways it is. So, you know, the people can read about it on Town Hall.
And they need to go and look, and I'll also follow you on Twitter, because you put a lot of video up there as well, at Julio_Rosas11. And make sure you go to townhall.com, find Julio's work. It's up there all the time. You do such great work. Stay safe. And thank you so much for bringing us such critical coverage, because honestly, there's so many of these stories that we would not be aware of, or at least the extent of what was happening, were you not one of the people that was out there bringing us that, you know, doing the job of journalism that our free press is supposed to do. So we appreciate you. Our prayers are with you for safe travels, my friend, and keep crushing it. Keep doing great work. We're grateful you do.
Thank you so much.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, make sure you subscribe to that newsletter. And I got to go to my special folder because I want to make sure that I, you got to bear with me because I have some, here we go. Okay. I have hate mail, and I want to make sure. Do we have time for a little bit of mailbag of hate?
We have a couple minutes.
We have a couple minutes. Can we do it? Yeah. Let's do it.
And now it's finally that part of the show where Dana monetizes the hate. All week, hateful posts, tweets, replies, and emails have been collected. The best of the best make the cut. It's Mailbag of Hate on The Dana Show.
Yes. We get range ammo, and we put a little extra in the plate for Jesus. That's what we do. Boop, boop, boop. Actually, some of it will also go to, like, shelters, animal shelters, because, you know, me and dogs are my best friends. So, actual email. And this email, and these are for, now, if you're a jerk to me, I will totally put out your email address and your IP address and everything else. I'll find you. So, be cool. I don't care if you disagree. Just don't be a jerk, right? So, let's see. This individual is from Travis Boyer. Mr. Travis Boyer. His subject is some issues. And he writes this, quote, "Hey, Dana, as a veteran who has," and I don't know why this is in quotes, "served in combat for this nation, what good have you actually done besides stoke the fire of division and hostility? I feel compelled to inform you that no matter how loud you'll kick and scream, you will never be able to hide the fact that the United States was built on slavery and the dispossession of land from sovereign nations, all justified through racism and greed. How is it not? Equality will feel like oppression for the privileged, and after hundreds of years of slavery and illegal land grabs, through deception and violence, we white Americans have a lot of embodied privilege." And gosh, he keeps going on and on. Get to the damn point. He says, "Trying to reconcile my actions in the military on behalf of someone like you is the reason I'm in therapy. You are gross." I don't know how the guy served in combat if opinions trigger him this much. So first off, I think you're in therapy because you're a nut job. But here's the other thing. He admits that he's a white dude. Tell me about illegal stolen land grabs, and I'll show you the name of my ancestors on the rolls for the Trail of Genocide. Yep. You want to have that conversation? I got them right in my office, and I can, like, get them like that. So you just let me know while you also defend the party that put Indigenous Americans on the Trail of Genocide, you still continually vote for them, and you still continually advocate for them. Tell me how that's not ironic. You can't. That's rhetorical. You can. If you want to have a discussion about stoking the fires of division and hostility, I would say that being a doucher and sending unsolicited emails to women whose opinions you don't like on the internets or on radio or on TV, that pretty much fits the definition of division and hostility, does it not?
Yeah, yeah.
I think you need to get a better therapist. And next time you send me something this ignorant, I will put your email address out there. But I'm giving you grace by not doing it now. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, that wasn't it, man. That was pretty stupid. But I've got cut 20 here. Pete Buttigieg, he was telling us that $2 trillion package from Biden, it's paid for.
Is not going to support a plan that raises taxes on ordinary Americans, especially when you don't have to in order to fund his vision. The American Jobs Plan is fully paid for.
What?
The president has proposed to fully pay for it.
What? Wait a minute. Is it paid for or is he proposed to
pay
for it?
Who paid the tab?
It would be us. It's us. My money.
This is like being at Bob's Steakhouse and somebody gets your tab and you're like, who? Except it's not $1 trillion.
So of all the stupidity we've experienced today, that one was top of the list.
Yeah, that's right up there. So congratulations, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. There you go. Woo! Folks, I hope you have a blessed week. And I'll be on Judge Jeanine's show tomorrow night on Fox and back with you on Monday. Subscribe to that newsletter so you can get behind the scenes look at what we're cooking up for you. All kinds of stuff. God bless.